Well, it's a joy again to be with you, each and every one. Oh, I must confess my ignorance. From week, the pastor has been telling me that there'll be a service after the meeting. And I just interpret that to be at 6 p.m. So I saw Brother Joshua came and gave me this a few minutes ago, and I said, "Brother, what's this for?" And he also says, for the service. So I said, "Must I keep it until then?" So, till one of the men says, "No, Brother Richard, we're going to have the service now." I said, "Really?" So, forgive me, please, because, you know, it's always good when you're prepared, because actually, I had that sermon at home. But it's always good when the Lord lays something on your heart. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, nevertheless, it's a joy to be with you once again and again. It's a great privilege and it's a great joy to be with you once again. Can I turn your attention, please, to that book of Scripture? To the Old Testament, and we're turning to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. And to the chapter 32. Again, it's a great joy to have fellowship with you, even in the with the meal. And we do appreciate that very much indeed. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And with God's words open for us, let us seek his help together in prayer. Our loving Father and our God in heaven, humbly we come before thee with thanksgiving in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we thank thee for making us special in thy sight. Not because of what we have done, but because of what you have done on our behalf. Now as you come to look into thy truth, give us help from heaven, we pray. Amen. Amen. Here, in this book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, I would like to look with you at verses 9 and 10. There, please. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is a lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the haze horn of wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. This Lord's Day evening, I would like to look with you and consider with you on this great theme, the apple of his eye. The apple of his eye. Verses 9 and 10. It says there, he kept him as the apple of his eye. First of all, that gives the indication of how special peculiar. That person is. Amen? For those of us, for those of you who are married, no one else should be seen or considered special to you than the one who you make that covenant promise to. And so here is a description of that sentiment. The eye is the most sensitive and also the most vital part on the human body. If you so desire to lose one of your senses, I don't think you would desire to lose your eyes. God has given to us 5 senses, and we all know them: hearing, smelling, feeling, touching, and indeed seeing. And as I wonder, as we look, as we gaze into what the Lord would have us here to consider in this passage that is here set out before us, no one desire to lose their eye, because it is the most special, the most important, the most vital, and because of that, it becomes so imperative that we have our eyes. But the eye is perhaps the most vital part of our members of the body. The phrase or the term upper of the eye here carries the idea of one that is very special in a very real way, above all others. He is the favorite, if you will. We think here of a special care that is given and that is expressed. God says, I kept him as the very upper of thine eye. From our text this Lord's Day evening, there are 4 things that I would like to consider with you on this great theme. First of all, let us see here the position of the eye. The position of the eye. The eye is the most cherished member of the body. We don't like when things get into our eyes. It can make our lives most miserable, painful, hurt. God likened his people to his eye. This is the Lord's amazing description of his people. Amen. The position of the eye. The eye, of course, is positioned in the head. And this should remind us of our own position with the Lord. We are united to Christ savingly. It is very vital that we are in Christ. And when the Lord here was speaking in this old time here, it was all a connection with the gospel. You see, there are a lot of church people, especially in Jamaica, and when they talk about the gospel, they're just talking about the New Testament. Jesus says to those people in his days, search the scripture. And he was not talking about the New Testament because they didn't have it then. He goes on to say, begin at Moses, you will see me. If you have spiritual eyesight, if you can discern things, you will see me. Because all the prophets of old did what? Spoke of me. Amen? We are accepted in the beloved, according to Ephesians 1 verse 6. That we are accepted into the beloved. Now, whether you are the greatest among the saints or the least, as Paul described himself, nevertheless, you are the very apple of God's eye. That's why he testified of this. If you touch me, you touch my anointed. And beloved friends and beloved brethren, we must know and understand that when the enemy does us wrong, that is why we must always allow the Lord to deal with it. Let us never, in a belligerent way, take things in our own hands, because the Lord will truly fight for his people. Why? Here we see that we are considered to be special to him. Special in his sight. Not only the position of the eye, but let us see here, secondly, the purpose of the eye. I'm sure you have already worked out what the purpose is. The purpose is to see. Amen? Isn't it that we can see spiritually the beauty of the Lord? I'm sure you are all looking at me, and I can look at you. That's a great purpose. Probably as you look at me, you say to yourselves, how handsome he is. But the purpose of the eye is to see. We should see these things in the light of God's word. We should be men and women of God's word, that we might see things from a heavenly perspective. We need to see things spiritually. Even the things that are taking place across the world today, they are not happening by mere chance. Or if you will, they are not happening by luck. By the way, when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ, we don't believe in luck. We believe in God's providential will. God has a will for our lives. And oftentimes, His will for our lives is not what we are pleased with. It brings tears at times. Nevertheless, we are the very apple of His eyes. And see things in light and in accordance with His word. If you are the apple of His eye, then you must see things as Christ sees them. How did Christ see things? Let's look at that verse that just came to mind. Matthew chapter 9, please. See, in Matthew chapter 9, Christ mentioned something here of great importance. See, in Matthew chapter 9, and I believe the verse 36. See, in Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Christ, we are told here, had compassion on them. There were people walking up and down, indeed going astray, knowing whether or not they go. This is how we see the world in which we live in today. People dying and perishing in their sins. We are told there in the book of St. Mark that all the publicans and sinners came near to hear him and his word. Are we not also to move with compassion for such people? All God's people must have great vision for the lost and the needy. A great burden. For the lost souls. But not only do we have here the position of the eye, the purpose of the eye, but let us see here, thirdly, the protection of the eye. The protection of the eye. In our text, the Lord said he kept him as the upper of his eyes, that protection. Beloved friends and beloved brethren, we need to know this. Despite of the great challenges that we face, difficulties, the valleys, the Lord truly protects those whom he owns. He protects those who truly belongs to him. The word kept there carries the idea of how the Lord never stop or never cease to guide his people. He will guide us even through great tribulation. David prayed a very important prayer in Psalm 17, verse 8. He says, keep me as the apple of thine eye, the special one of thine eye. And isn't it that when we see the enemy was fighting David, hunting down David, there was a point where David could kill the enemy. But because of the spiritual mindset, he had no desire to do so. Why? Because he knows that the very God of Israel was the very apple of his own eyes. Christ is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Christ knows what you and I are going through even this very day. He feels it. He understands it. He knows it. He says in Zechariah 2, verse 8, the Lord said, for he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. That word touch, it carries the idea of those who do wrong to you, wrongfully accuse you, wrongfully molest you, and the list goes on. Here we see, my dear friends, that Christ takes our infirmities very personal. That is why you and I should not speak ill of a brother or a sister. Again, the ungodly must be warned here, because Jesus says, what you do to the least of these brethren, you do it unto me. Why Christ said that? He said that because he had a special relationship with a particular group of people that he doesn't have with others. And that is so from day one. God has ever had this personal relationship with a particular people from day one. From day one, he chose Israel. He said, I could have chosen other nation, but I chose you, not because you were somewhat special. I have made you special, the Lord is saying. The Lord really and truly protects those who belongs to him. Now, there is this idea that God loves everybody. And there are some church people that will tell you that God loves everyone equally. Well, that's not true. And they will use a famous verse of scripture to try to teach that. John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world. But we have to understand which world God's love is not the world of the ungodly. But it is the world of the elect. I wish I had much time to explain all that. But it might appear to be a universal love, but it is not. To put it a simple way, as we would say in Jamaica, to put it as ABC, God does not love everyone equally. He has a special love for those who are considered to be the very upper of his very eye. But in closing, let us see here also the preciousness of the eye. Amen? The preciousness. Isn't it that you consider the eye to be very precious? I think that is the main idea here when the Lord describe us as the upper of his eyes, the preciousness. How his people are precious to him. That word precious carries the thought or the idea of how important and valuable they are. To him forever. Even the least of the believers here are described to be very precious in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that true, beloved friends and beloved brethren? The least of us all are considered to be precious in his sight. Not only he is precious, but we see where he considers us to be precious. Why are we considered to be precious? Is it because we are good people? Absolutely not. Is it because we say good prayers? Absolutely not. God sees us to be precious only for one reason. Because he sees us in his son. Amen? That's how we are precious. Not because we so-called do good works. Isaiah says, all our good works. This is how he adds it up. He says, all our good works. The very best of them. He described them as a woman's monthly cycle. He says, all your good works are as filthy rags. That's the idea. We dare not boast in our good works. Just before I came here in Jamaica, there was a so-called pastor, and he was saying how many people he baptized in water and how many more he has planned to be baptized, and he was just going on. Isn't it great? Beloved friends and beloved brethren, we dare not boast in our good works because they are filthy in the eyes of the Lord. It is the blood of Christ that is applied and imputed to us that makes us special in His sight. All those who are described here as the apple of His eyes, that's the reason. Nothing else. And so, the idea here, as God looked at His Son, so also He sees us in Him. We are brought into His preciousness. Listen to what we are told here in closing, in 1 Peter 1 verse 9. In 1 Peter 1 verse 9, this is what we are told. This is the glorious truth that is here set out before us for our learning, and equally true for our edification. He says, the second part, but with the precious blood of Christ. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Beloved friends, when we look deeply into this text, we will see and know that it has nothing to do with our contribution. Just like how when God created the world, we had no contribution in it, equally true when it comes to salvation. It's not what we did, it's not what we do, or even what we say. Is what Christ have done, what He has accomplished. That is why the first thing towards salvation has to be regeneration. What's that? We can say the new birth. Or to be born again. And we know that when it comes to regeneration, it is monogistic. It is not synergistic. Monogistic just means the act of God alone. It was God who raised us from the dead. Think of a dead person having no life. Can't do nothing for himself. We think of Lazarus there as he lay in the tomb, lifeless. It was Christ who came forth and says, Lazarus. What Christ did? Christ gave him life. Amen? Amen. And so it is. Sometimes it sick me hearing of these preachers who says, do this to have salvation, do that to have salvation. Say your prayers. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong in saying prayers. But I tell you something. This thing that is so common is not biblical. They will tell you to say the sinner's prayer. That's not true. It's not wrong to say prayers now. But saying sinner's prayers, the so-called, call it, will not get you to heaven, will not redeem you. Because regeneration is monergistic. It is God acting alone. He gives you life. And this is what Paul says in Ephesians. And you had he quickened, or you had he made alive. Who were what? Who were dead. How? In trespasses and in sin. Amen? When that is done, that's how you are seen to be the very apple of God's eyes. May God bless his word to our hearts for his precious name's sake. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Lord, we thank thee for you seeing us so special in thy sight. Lord, we acknowledge not because of what we have done, but because of what you have done and what you are doing on our behalf. We say thanks in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.